Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
You're welcome back. 256 troops have been evacuated from the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol overnight following an 82-day siege. A video released by the Russian Ministry of Defence showed fighters leaving the plant, some being carried on stretchers, others with their hands up to be searched by Russian troops. We're joined now by freelance journalist Jack Losh from southern Ukraine, near Odessa, I believe. Jack, you're very welcome to the programme. Is this being viewed as a significant defeat for Ukraine here in Mariupol?
Good evening. Thanks very much for having me on. It's being viewed differently, very differently, by either side, as you can imagine. Just to set the scene and to realise how significant this is, this moment marks the end of weeks of resistance at the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol. Just picture the scene. Hundreds of troops have been holed up in this warren of tunnels and bunkers beneath the steelworks. Many of them had serious injuries. They've been cut off from the world, running low on food, ammunition, many wounded, some even missing limbs. These are men who have been trapped in darkened underground and an industrial hellscape, bearded, emaciated and covered in dirt. It has been unclear for the last few weeks how this was going to end, either in their death or their surrender. Now, the Ukraine side, in a way, is downplaying this. We had the army earlier today said the soldiers had defended the steel plant and had performed their combat task. Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, simply said, Ukraine needs Ukrainian heroes alive. And other officials have claimed that the fierce fight that they gave to the Russian army actually stalled the Russians' advance elsewhere. On the other hand, Russia has seized on this moment and called the Azovstal operation a mass surrender. And looking forward now, there is much uncertainty about their fate. For these men, severely wounded in some cases, have been transferred to Russian-occupied territory for their treatment to hospitals. And what comes next, whether they're going to be exchanged or perhaps meet a grislier fate, is quite unknown.
So it's being viewed differently by different by the different camps, Ukraine and Russia, but certainly being sold as a major victory for Russia in the Kremlin, without question. The prisoner exchange that you mentioned there, how much hope is there in Kyiv, especially for that to happen?
Well, there's without doubt a huge amount of hope. Just how well placed that hope is yet to be confirmed. We had Ukraine's deputy defense minister said they would be swapped in a prisoner exchange. And this is clearly part of the agreement that both sides have been hashing out over the last few days and weeks. We had the deputy prime minister, Arina Vereshchuk, earlier today say the fighters will be exchanged. God willing, she wrote, everything will be fine. Clearly a note of extreme hope, perhaps even desperation there. The Russians have been shown over the last few weeks and months and beyond that to not be true to their word at all. Now, details of the agreement that led to the evacuation remain very unclear. We've had Putin's spokesperson say that the surrender would be treated in accordance with international standards, while seeing the appalling behaviour, the atrocities that the Russians have committed in places like Bucha, and not to mention Mariupol itself, with thousands upon thousands of civilians dead, how well the Russians will comply with international standards, why expectations are extremely low. We've also seen two Russian officials go even further, suggesting that these soldiers could be tried or even executed as quote-unquote terrorists. The important thing to remember is many of the fighters in Mariupol and in the Azovstal steelworks come from the Azov battalion. And that group has been a key part of the Russian propaganda narrative that the war has been launched with the goal of denazification, that the Russians are waging a just war against so-called Nazis. Now, while that is clearly false and clearly propaganda. The origins of this volunteer militia back in 2014, many of its original members did have far-right, extremist and Nazi views. It by no means is representative of the Ukrainian state or Ukrainian army at all. Mm-hmm. And since then, the unit has integrated with the Ukrainian army and National Guard, and the commanders do say it has moved away from its far-right origins.
Can you tell me briefly what the update is today in the Donbass region? Because I'm reading different reports, Jack, of advancement and encirclement of Ukrainian troops by Russian forces, and then a robust defense in other reports that I read. What's your understanding, briefly?
Well, we are seeing Russian forces continue to lay siege to the east, and most of that force is being focused on the de facto county seat in Luhansk region, Severodonetsk. That means heavy shelling, the odd attempted ground assault, which are reported to be largely ineffective. All in all, that feared mass offensive by the Russians in Donbass has stalled, and it's looking like it will continue to stall. But what they do then, the Russians will just continue to rely on these pitiless, random, indiscriminate artillery barrages. And what that means for the many hundreds, if not thousands, of civilians that remain in these besieged towns is continued suffering, injuries, and death.
Okay, Jack Losh, freelance journalist in southern Ukraine near Odessa. Thank you very much indeed.